Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. So another year has come and gone. We have said goodbye to 2014 and we've welcomed in 2015. There are people that are all over this country and all over the world, really, that have many very superstitious beliefs about the first day of the year, about the things you eat or the things you do and how that's going to influence the year ahead. There are people all over the world that have made New Year's resolutions, ways that they are going to take in hand their own lives and change them for the better from the world's viewpoint. Those things aren't necessarily a bad thing. I'm not the superstitious things, but the resolutions. But it is evident from doing that that people have a very egotistical mindset, that they are so much in control, that they have the ability to better themselves, whether it's in the eyes of the world or even in the eyes of God. It is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this. When, if we look back on the year that has passed, we find that there is sometimes so little that we're actually in control of. We have things that have come into our lives that were blessings, things that came into our lives that were trials, that were difficulties. And what we don't realize is a lot of times the things that were the trials and the difficulties were the greatest blessings, because those are the times that we've grown more closer to God. I think about the idea of people trying to change themselves at this time of year. I'm reminded that we used to camp a lot in the U.S., and we still try to here, but it's not as weather-friendly. But we used to camp with a particular family back in the U.S., and we always enjoyed sitting around the campfire and having chats and things. And in this conversation with this other family, I told my life story, where it started out very poor, started out in a very difficult life with very great many challenges. The Lord blessed me that I had some academic scholarships to university, and I worked 40 to 60 hours a week in university despite the scholarships to pay for university, and all these things that the Lord has blessed me with throughout my life. And the wife of the family said, I'm just amazed, Chuck, that you were able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps like that. That's the idea in the States, that you're pulling yourself up out of the muck, and you made your life so much better. And she completely missed the glory of God. She completely missed that I wouldn't have been able to do any of those things without God having a hand on me, without God blessing me with any intelligence to be able to get a scholarship, or the energy to continue to work, or the health to be able to do any of the things that I was able to do. When you think about a New Year's resolution, I don't think we should be thinking about what am I going to do. It should be, what is the Lord going to allow me to do? What is the Lord going to give me strength to do in the new year? Now, when you think about the old year and the new year, it's always good to look back. It's always good to look back over the things you've grown on. And so as we come to it, I'd like to look back through Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is a beautiful psalm, and it is something that is evident in each life of a Christian. If you are a Christian here today, if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, then this psalm will touch you in some way, shape, or form. If you are not a Christian, this psalm will describe you in some way, shape, or form. And I hope that when you hear it, that you will do what the people in the psalm have done and what other people in this room have done and cry out to the Lord. Let's read, and we'll just read each section as we go. So we're going to read the first three verses of Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. This is really an outline of the psalm. When you think about this, you see what is going on here. Who should give thanks? Well, the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord, those that God has bought out of their sin. Not brought, but also bought. Brought and bought out of their sin. He's brought them from somewhere else to where he is. He's redeemed them. Who's done it? Well, it's the Lord. You notice there in your Bibles that the Lord is capitalized all the way through. That means it's Jehovah that's done this work. If you hear people say, well, the God of the Old Testament is kind of a cruel God, and I like Jesus Christ because he's very loving, well, you can point to things like this. This is Jehovah speaking. This is Jehovah, and he says, give thanks unto Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of Jehovah say so. This is the work of God Almighty. This is the work of Jehovah. He is redeeming his people. He is redeeming his people. Why should we give thanks? Well, first off, God is good. God is good. And you think about this all the times throughout the New Testament where all of the demons were saying who Jesus Christ was, and he tells them to keep quiet. And if you remember, one man came to them and said, good master, what must I do? And he said, don't call me good. There's only one good. And who was that? It's God in heaven. It's the Lord Almighty. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that he wasn't God. He wants him to recognize that God is the one that is good. Paul tells us that there is none good when he's talking about mankind. That we've all gone astray. He's quoting Isaiah. That we're all doing our own thing. We're not following and seeking God's righteousness. But even though there is only one good, he's good unto us, isn't he? His mercy endureth forever. Now, there's some promises just in that statement. His mercy endureth forever. It's not a situation where, well, I've come to Christ today and he has saved me, but now tomorrow I've sinned so desperately that I'm no longer a Christian. No, if he saves you, if you're truly one of his children, you are always one of his children. You can go through the Bible and you can find these references where nothing is able to pluck you out of the hand of the Father. Why is that? Because his mercy endureth forever. It's everlasting. It's not going away. And it's mercy. It's mercy. It's something that we've been given that we don't deserve. It's something that we haven't been given that we do deserve. You see, I deserve so much of hell, but he hasn't given me that. He's given me mercy. I deserve no grace. I deserve none of it. I don't deserve Jesus Christ. I don't deserve his word. I don't deserve his spirit. I don't deserve a family. I don't deserve any of those things. But he's given those to me. It's his mercy. It's what he's done. And then he has gathered the redeemed. You look at verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Martin Lloyd-Jones said when he was preaching on this that he was gathering together a choir. And he's gathering it out of all the lands, and then there's going to be a group together, and they're going to worship and praise the Lord for what he has done. And as we go through, you can look at these. There's going to be four types of redeemed souls that we'll see here in Psalm 107. And each one of us, you can almost take it like a personality test. I've never actually taken one of those. I've read a lot about them. But you can take it almost like that, because each one of us will fit in some way, shape, or form into one of these four groups. You'll be able to say, you know, that really is describing what I was like. It's possible that it's describing what you're still like if you don't know the Lord. And it's pointing us to him. And so as we go through this, think about it and then praise God for it. If you are a Christian today, look back on what he's done for you and give him honor and give him glory. Give him thanksgiving, because that's what looking back ought to do. It ought to make us pause and say, God is great. God indeed has done amazing things for me. His grace has been amazing in my life. And it's not anything that I've earned. I haven't pulled myself up. God has pulled me up. God has brought me to the place I am. So look at verses 4 through 9. We'll see our first personality test, if you will, and the person that is seeking something. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You see, there's a group of people, there are some in here, where this fits them perfectly. throughout their lives, they felt like something was missing. They didn't know what it was, but something wasn't quite right. And they started to seek it. They started to search for it. They were thirsting and hungering for something, but they didn't know what the answer was. And then they start to go and they start asking others. Say, what did you find? What did you find out about life? What's the answer to it all? What's the point of all this? Is it worthwhile? And they seek and they seek and they're looking for some place to call home. Some place to say, this is where I ought to be. And they can't find it. There are many people that will say, well, come over here. Come to where we are. This is the place you want to see. This is the place you want to be. This is the city of habitation. And they come and they rejoice and they're so happy. But what they don't realize is they're sitting in dust. They're eating ashes. There's no blessing there. You see, there's many people that will steer someone in the wrong direction. Whether it's because they're doing it on purpose, those false prophets that you're going to be hearing about tonight and next week, or whether it's because they're fooled themselves. The blind leading the blind. And people are constantly in places. And you can look throughout this country today and you can say there are many places where there are people sitting and they think they're satisfied. They think they found what they were looking for. And what they found is nothing. It's empty. There's nothing there. There's many that will be calling out to him, Lord, Lord, in that day. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. They've looked for that city of habitation, but they haven't found it because they've been looking for it on their own efforts, in their own strength. But what happens here in these verses? In verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. They cried out to him. They cried out to him, and he says, come my way. Walk my path. I will lead you to the city of habitation. I will take you where you need to be. I will place you where I want you. I will build you up. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them in the right way. You notice all the actions? Whose are those actions? They're God's actions. It's his work. The work of salvation is God's work. He's the one who sent his son to die for us. He satisfied that longing soul. You know, the idea of someone seeking Christ. Well, people seek things all the time. But God is the one who's going to lead them to the place. He's going to lead them to that city of habitation. There are some here that were in that place. You sought for something, but you didn't know what it was. It may have been education. There are many, many people that I know that have sought out education as the answer. Education is not the answer. There are many people that I know that have sought it through pleasure, whether it's alcohol or drugs or anything else. And they're going to wake up one day and realize that's not the answer. Now, they may not find the answer, but they're going to realize one day that's not the answer, that it's empty, that there's nothing there. You may have been in those places, but you called unto the Lord in your distress. You cried out to him, and he brought you out of that. And he brought you to a place where you no longer have to seek because he's the one that feeds you with bread that you never have to hunger again. He's the one that gives you water that you'll never thirst again. Because that's what he does. There may be some that are still seeking sitting here today. That are still searching for something and they don't know what it is. The only answer is Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the only way. And we point you to him. Know him. There's no truth but his truth. There's no knowledge but his knowledge. Everything else is empty. As the people in this psalm and the people around you have found out. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Well, the next group are prisoners. In verses 10 through 16. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. This is someone who knows the bondage of sin. Because sin is bondage. And sin will hold you in places much longer than you could ever have dreamed. And it's a constant cycle, over and over and over and over again. But God is merciful. They called unto the Lord in their distress. And what has God done for them? He has broken their bands. He's broken the bars. He's totally destroyed it. See, they felt their cell. They felt that they're trapped. They're in darkness and they're waiting execution because the wages of sin is death. They know it. They're bound and they can't get out. They don't have the strength. Sin has taken them far from God. They've been in direct rebellion from Him. They've laughed at His Word. And you say, well, how is that possible? Because people have a conscience. But people that have constantly been in sin, what have they done? They've seared that conscience over and over and over again. And they said, I don't want to hear the words of God. And they're bound fast in that sin and they can't get out. And then God has poured on them from His Spirit conviction. A recognition that they are sinning. That it's not pleasure. That it's just a passing thing. They have no help on any side. What can they do? Well, they can only do one thing. They cry out to the Lord. They cry out to Him, and what does He do? He delivers them out of their distresses. He brings them out. He breaks their bands asunder and brings them out of their prison. And He brings them into His kingdom of light. If that was you, you'd praise the Lord for it, no matter what the sin was. Sometimes we think of sins and we think of all the awful things. It doesn't have to be all the awful things that come into our mind of alcohol and drugs and sex and those types of things. It could be envy, it could be jealousy, it could be any number of things, it could be lying, whatever it might be, that held you fast in that sin. And God has broken the bars. There is a tremendous blessing in that mindset. He's broken the bars. He's broken the clasps that held you tight. He didn't say he unlocked them. He didn't unlock the bars. He didn't unlock those handcuffs. What has He done to them? He's broken them. They can't be used again. They're broken now. They can't hold you in that sin any longer because you are now one of His children. He's called you out of that into His kingdom. Doesn't matter what you were bound with now. It could have been brass. It could have been iron. He's broken those things and called you out. You'd rebelled against God and His Word, but now He's bowed you under that burden and drawn you from that burden. He's taken that burden off your shoulders. Praise Him for His great love towards you. He's brought you out of an unimaginable darkness. If that picture points to you. There may be some people that are here today, or even people that you know that are still in that state. That are still trapped by sin and still struggling under the weight and the burden of it. Point them to Jesus Christ. Show them the Savior. Show them what God has done for you. Show them what He can do for them through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because what does it take? Crying out. That's all. That's what the Scripture says here. They cried unto the Lord in their distresses. And He brought them out. He delivered them. He saved them. He's taken them and given them something when they had nothing. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. It's an amazing thing. Give thanks and praise unto the Lord for it. Look back on your life and say, God, thank You so much for what You've done for me. You're an amazing and an awesome God. The next section is verses 17 through 22. And these are those that are depressed. These are those that are depressed. And I'm not talking about something of a clinical nature where there's a chemical imbalance. I'm talking about depression because of our circumstances and looking in ourselves. Looking in our own selves for our own strength and failing miserably time and time again. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. So these are folks that have, by their own actions, whether they've been sinful actions or not, they have put themselves in circumstances that are absolutely atrocious. Everything they choose, it seems to go wrong. Every step they take, something bad happens. You've all known people like that. I have relatives like that. Every step they take, they're making the wrong choice. No matter how many times you tell them that's the wrong choice, and they take that wrong choice. And then they look around and they see their circumstances and they're depressed by their circumstances. They feel like life is against them. Everybody's against them. And they're going to continue to walk this path and they no longer want to eat. They no longer want to drink. They just want to die. Thinking that somehow or other dying will be better than the life they're leading now. That's the picture that is painted here by the psalmist. And it's a sad state, isn't it? It's a sad place for someone to be. The idea that everybody is against them. The idea that everything is going the other person's way, not my way. And they're depressed because of it. The idea the sky is falling on me. There's no strength anywhere. There's no ability anywhere. No matter what I do, it's constantly wrong. But then, they cry unto the Lord in their distress. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And He saveth them out of that. He saves them from it. He saves them from it. He sends His word and He heals them. He makes them recognize that, no, you are special because I've chosen you. And He gives them wisdom from His word. Helps them to see things in a clearer way. Helps them to go to someone for better counsel. Because maybe they've been going to the wrong counsel for so long. Or trying to do it in their own strength for so long. He took the focus off of themselves and their circumstances and placed it upon Him. You know, if you know someone that is depressed, and again, I'm not speaking on a clinical nature. I'm speaking in the idea of I've made a mess of my life and I've put myself in this position and I don't know how to get out. The best thing besides Jesus Christ to do for that person is to help them focus on something else. Help them focus outside of themselves. Show them someone that's worse off than they are. Show them someone they can help. It lists the spirits. It lists what they're doing. And what does God tell these folks to do? Verse 20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. See, they had a task to do. God has given them something to do. Not just sit back and say, thank you, Lord, but to go tell other people of what they've done. Go tell other people of what God has done for them. Keep telling it over and over again. Why? Because it's placing the glory not on themselves, but on God. It's giving Him the praise. It's giving thanksgiving unto Him, and they're no longer focused on their depressing circumstances. That's why you can find someone that is a Christian in dire circumstances and they're happy and they're joyful. Because they're not looking at their circumstances, they're looking to the Savior. Where you can find someone that has it all, if you want to find someone that has it all, you look at Solomon in the Scriptures. You can also look at any of the entertainment industry in the world today. They've got everything, don't they? They've got all the things that everybody wants. All the cars, all the houses, all the fun. They don't really have to work. It doesn't seem very difficult. And the world in general looks up to them and envies what they have. Says, I wish I had that. I don't wish I had that because look what else they have. Their lives are a wreck. Their lives fall apart constantly. They're not looking to the Lord. They're looking to themselves. And one day they're going to wake up and realize, just as Solomon did, that it's all empty. All the houses, all the glitz, all the glamour, every bit of it is meaningless. Every bit of it is meaningless except for Jesus Christ. And so there are some of you that were in that state. And God has called you out of it through His mercy and grace. There are some that still may be there. We point you to Jesus Christ because He can bring you out of it. He can bring you from that place and put you in His kingdom of light. And focus upon Him. Because you ever notice when there's a bright light, what do you look at? What do you do? You look at it. Each one of us looks at it. If it's dark outside and somebody shines a light, your eye is drawn towards it. And then all of a sudden you're blinded and you try and look away. We always look to the light because we want the light. Well, God tells us His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's a blessing that only He gives. Look unto Him. Look unto Jesus Christ. The next group, verses 23 through 32. These are not those that have bad circumstances and they're depressed. These are those that are ruled by their circumstances. They're tossed by every wind and wave. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. This is the person who is ruled by circumstances. Not depressed by those circumstances, but ruled by them. And again, this may point to who you are or someone that you know. Everything that happens in their life sends them in a different direction. They're going this way, and all of a sudden something happens, and they're pointed this direction. And then they're going this direction. And then they're going backwards. And then they're going east. And then they're going west. Because they can't stand firm on anything. They have no firm ground to stand upon. You look at this sailor that this picture paints, and they're going back and forth because of the strong waves. And they look like a drunken man. If you saw them and you just took the picture of the man standing on that ship and they're trying to get their bearings, you say, well, he just looks drunk if you didn't see the waves about him. Well, that's the picture that the psalmist is painting. They're going about every place. Well, this looks good today. Tomorrow, this looks good. Tomorrow, this looks bad. And they're ruled by those circumstances. And they end up in their lives and they end up at the end and they say, well, how did I get here? I don't know how this happened. And they may look back and they see this jagged line that has taken them all over the place because they had no direction whatsoever. Because they were ruled by their circumstances. I think of the different terror attacks that have happened to this nation, happened to the United States. If you ever notice, and if it ever happens again, if you read history, you'll see that whenever those things happen, what takes place in the country? Everybody starts to pray. Everybody starts to ask God, don't they? But is it lasting? No, it's not. Because they're ruled by their circumstances. Oh, this horrible thing has happened. What are we going to do? Well, let's pray. Prayer is up. Crime is down. This is fantastic. 6 months later, you talk to that same person that was saying we all ought to be praying, and they don't want to have anything to do with God. Because they're just ruled by their circumstances. They're at their wit's end. They don't know what to do because they're constantly in difficult times. They're going from the idea of people's paycheck to paycheck. Well, they're going from circumstance to circumstance. I've made it through this one. Now I'm faced with another one. I've got to get through this one. Now I'm faced with another one. I've got to get through this. You can point out people in your life that way. It may be you were that way, but God has called you out of it. Thank Him and praise Him for it. Give Him glory and honor for what He's taken you out of. If you are still there, look to Him. Because He has brought these people to a safe haven, regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of what's taking place in their lives, He's brought them to a safe haven. He's given them peace that surpasses understanding. Regardless of the death of a family member. Regardless of the loss of a job. Regardless of the bank account not balancing. Regardless of any of those things, they have a safe haven. They have comfort and they have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalt Him for it. If you're still there, look to Him. He'll deliver you from those circumstances. Doesn't mean he'll change the circumstances. But he'll deliver you from them. Just like he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the midst of the fiery furnace. He didn't take them away from the fiery furnace. He delivered them through the fiery furnace. He'll do the same for you. No matter the tempest. So what does the Lord do for his people? Verses 30 through 33 through the end of the chapter, end of the psalm, you see a picture that he paints. You see a picture that the psalmist paints about what God does. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. You say, well, that doesn't sound very nice. But that's the chastisement of the Lord, isn't it? You see, his people, whom he loves, he chastises. Just like a father chastises his children. Just like a father disciplines his children to bring them out of the action that they're doing and show them a better way. Well, that's what God is doing here. He turneth rivers into a wilderness. You're in the wrong place. And he dries up the brook, just like he did to Elijah. He says, come out of that place to where I want you. He chastises us. But that's not where he stops. There's verse 35. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That's what he does. He brings his people where he wants them, doesn't he? He dries up the places we shouldn't be, and he makes wellsprings in the places we should be. He makes us rejoice in the things that he gives. He is a merciful God. He is gracious. And we ought to be giving him thanks and praise for all that he's done in our lives. Especially for saving us from ourselves, from our sin, from where we were going, where we were walking. And if you're sitting here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, he can do the same for you. He's never turned someone away. He's never said, no, no, you're not worthy of me. He's never said, no, no, you cannot come to faith in me. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Look to him and he'll bring you out of your distresses. He'll bring you out of these circumstances. And that's not the greatest blessing, is it? Because you'll be with him eternally. Just like he talked about in the very beginning of the psalm, his mercy endureth forever. That's the true blessing. The peace that goes throughout this life is fantastic. But it's nothing compared to what we'll have one day to be with him. And that's the true blessing. You know, my family members are not my immediate family, but my family of origin. None of them are Christians. None of them know the Lord. And I've always heard them joke, well, if all the good people are going to heaven, well, hell is where the party will be. And that's where I want to be. They're so, so blinded by their own sin. And they don't see that the blessing is not going to be any kind of party. It's not going to be sitting there and having whatever food you want or a mansion. You know, the song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. I don't know if I'm going to have a mansion or not. What I do know is that I will be in the presence of the Lord. And that will be enough. That will make all of those other things, the golden streets, the crystal walls, all those things will pale in comparison to being in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the glory of it. That's the blessing of it. That's what I can sit down and I can say, thank you, Lord, no matter what my circumstances are. No matter how much I have in my bank account. No matter how much work needs to be done to the house. No matter how dire the work situation looks. No matter how difficult my family members are being. No matter any of those things, I can sit back and I can say, thank you, Lord, that you've called me out and you're going to bring me to be with you. And I'm going to spend eternity with you. And when you do that, all the other things pale. All the other things seem much smaller. And you say, thank you, Lord. Praise you for what you've done. And so we point you to Jesus Christ because he is the only answer to that. He is the only answer to your sin. He is the only answer to the difficulties you face in life. He's not promising He's going to make you rich. He's not promising He's going to make it smooth and easy. He's promising to give you peace, to give rest for your soul. Because it's only He can do that. And so we do point you to